This is Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Transistor with Velvet Steel, myself, where I get to talk about trans folks, because I know you're all interested and want to know more. Trans journey. Bondage at an early age. Yes. I was at it at an early age, really early age. So I guess there are some things that seem to come naturally to a kid, and one of them's happened to be bondage for me. I loved tying up the neighborhood kids, and I guess since I wasn't allowed to really play with, or it wasn't what little boys played with in terms of toys, i.e. dolls, things like that, little dogs, puppies, little dolls that looked like puppies and teddy bears and things like that. So I picked up some rope and started playing with that one day, and well, lo and behold, it just turned into a beautiful knot. And that knot happened to be around the ankles of the neighborhood boy, the hot boy who lived just down the street from us, who ended up being my friend for quite some time. Man, he was hot. I couldn't get enough of him, and I was always trying to get a shot of him, nude. So there you'd find me hanging out in his closet, hiding out, doing all these other crazy little things and shit like that. And I was always playing around with the rope and wanting to tie him up and then trying to get him to tie me up. He wasn't really receptive to that, but he certainly liked getting tied up. I don't know why. But I didn't complain, that was for sure. So we always do our little tie-up games and things like that. But then when he was around the neighborhood kids, he always seemed to be that much more masculine. It was, we would play the neighborhood tag game or hide-and-seek, and he got that much more masculine in terms of being the ultimate perfect boy. There was no way that he was going to be a little femmy boy around me. Well, he, for those intents purposes, he wasn't a little femmy boy. He was quite built like a brick shit house. I don't know what was going on in my head at that age, but there were some really crazy things. I mean, he was even playing doctor under the stairs at my grandmother's place with the neighborhood girls, sticking clothes pegs where the sun don't shine. I remember putting clothes pegs on a girl's labia. Wow, that was really crazy. Why did I do that? I don't know, but she certainly squealed when I put it on there, and I couldn't figure out why. So, there I have these clothes pegs there strapped on her, and we're doing this little spin around dance with our pants down around our knees and having fun that way. And, I was always trying to get the neighborhood kids to come in underneath the stairs at my grandmother's place and play the clothes peg game. Wow, I really had some weird things going on in my head when I was a kid, wasn't it? And, another one that I even did too as well, because I was so bored that I figured out how to make a slingshot out of a wire coat hanger. Now there's something Joan Crawford can suck on as far as I'm concerned. So here I was making slingshots for the neighborhood kids out of wire coat hangers. I'd wrap those babies up so good and tight with electrical tape, and I put on, it's elastic banding that you would put in pants. So I had that good and tight, and I put a little bit of a pocket in the back there, and the berries. We had these big, huge clusters of orange berries that grew on this tree right out the front of our yard. And I'd go and get those, and I would start putting them into my slingshot and snapping them at people. I don't know why I did that, but I certainly got a kick out of it. And I would be doing it at cars and buses and dogs and birds and people and stuff like that. Maybe there was some pent-up anger. I'm not too sure. Well, I figured out when I got in trouble with the slingshot thing that the one other thing that I could do, because there was a road right up the side of the house there, and we had this huge hedge. So I would always get the hose instead, because the slingshots got taken away from me when my mom figured out I could do that. I started turning on the hose and shooting it into the open windows of the cars coming by and getting a thrill out of having those people jump out of that car and chase me through the backyard. And once the neighborhood kids figured that one out too, that was the greatest game since sliced bread. So here they were over at our house, firing up the hose, shooting it at the cars. And my mother couldn't figure out why there was this flood of kids running, screaming through the backyard into the bushes on the other side of the house so we could get into the neighbor's next door yard. And, one day she figured that out too, and we got into shit for that. I guess I was kind of the neighborhood instigator, always doing things my way. Translation. The art of the pass. Feet. You know, people kind of take feet for granted, but like the hands and the feet, it's one of those things that on any trans person you're going to notice is very obvious because of the size and the veins and things like that. And the feet also grow hair on the toes. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, that's one of the things that most of us are always looking at, is the hair on our toes and getting rid of that hair on our toes. And whether it's plucking or waxing or shaving, it's still there. I mean, I myself have been fortunate to not really have any hair on my toes. But other ones that I know, it's one of those telltale signs in terms of hygiene that they don't go that extra step. And it's very important because people do look at your hands and your feet and other sort of situations on the body that are very key in identifying a person. So if you really want to pass, then these individuals who are trying to pass properly, they've got to pay attention to their feet. And that's one of the things, getting rid of the hair. The toenails are another thing as well. So pedicures come in key here, and they're very essential for making your feet look really nice. So you've got to keep your nails in check and not have any of those big, nasty nails that are hanging over the edges there. Make sure it's all cleaned under the toes and they're nice and trimmed and filed and buffed and even polished. Polish is a really good thing to apply to those toes and match it up and make it sort of more feminine as well. And that's what most of them are doing as well. One thing that I've always noticed and sort of gone through, and there's a couple places around that are even offering courses for trans individuals in terms of going through their gender transition, how to properly walk. Because one of the things that people are also doing in my situation, or have done in my situation, is they walk with their feet pigeon-toed. So their feet are sort of pointing out, and that's very key for most men. Most men walk like that. They're not walking with their feet straight like a woman would. So they're getting them very conscious of how their feet are reacting and how they're working. So you've got to point your feet straight and walk straight and keep it going. Like, so you're not like going to be doing the clown walk, is what I like to call it. You got those big ass shoes on and you're walking with your feet pointed out, pigeon toed. No, you're not, because you don't want to be a clown. You want to pass. It's the art of the pass we're talking about here. So keeping your feet straight on is something that people need to concentrate on. And the other thing that I need to stress is feet are big, especially on a man. They can be really big. And that's where high heels are so important, because when you've got that arch and you've got, say, heels are 3 inches or more, they're making that foot look a little bit more slender, a little bit more shapely, a little less wide, a little less long. So heels come into play very importantly when it comes to trans folks. And one of the things that I always find, and I kind of find it really humorous, is most cross-dressers that I know out there like to have on the big ass heels. They want to be a slut. And that's what they're always running around trying to be, is the ultimate slut hooker walking on the street kind of thing. I know in my days of doing professional domination, I certainly had enough cross-dressers come my way who wanted shoes that were so super high, and they wanted to be the ultimate whore on the street. You know, and then they couldn't even walk. I love sitting there watching them walk towards me. I used to call it my runway look. And I would make them walk around the room while I'd sit there and giggle under my breath, having a glass of wine, while these guys who are walking looking like they wanted to fall flat on their face first. Because when someone's wearing high heels for the first time and they don't know how to properly wear them, chances are their back is not going to be in the position it should be. They don't know how to stand up straight, so they sort of lean forward and they walk like they're trying to catch up with their toes, but their face is falling flat first on the street or wherever they're walking. And I always would tell them, now stand up straight, be that ultimate model for me, walk like a lady. Come on, bitch, do it for me. Intro to CKNW. Here's a little bit of a show that I was on with Maureen McGrath of the Sunday Night Sex Show at CKNW 980 AM.
Joining me in the studio is Jerry Anderson, known to some as Velvet Steel. Jerry?
Hi.
Thank you for joining me tonight. I am well, thank you. So, you have had
SRS. Gender,
yeah. SRS, sex reassignment surgery.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so thank you so much for joining me in the studio tonight, because that's such an important subject, and there are a lot of people out there who were born as a man, but as a male, but feel or identify more
as a woman.
Exactly. And so that happened to you. So tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm not going to go into some, you know, dramatic thing about how terrible of a childhood I had, because that was clearly the opposite. My childhood was actually pretty good. There were certain things that affected me when I was growing up that were very difficult and challenging in regards to dealing with other kids and dynamics and around the neighborhood and just community stuff and social stuff. And I knew that I was different from the start. And, you know, it was clear.
Did you feel like Dr. Olsenfeld as a heterosexual with a bit of a quirk?
Yeah.
I think we can say that about everybody.
I like the quirk.
Yeah.
I knew that there was something different. I could see in pictures and just in how I acted and stuff like that. And I even had family members coming to me later on in life saying to me, after I decided that I was going through all my changes, mm-hmm. that they knew this was going on. Kind of the same thing I said to them. It's like, well, why didn't you tell me before so I knew what was going on?
Yeah, they
so
probably didn't know though either. Didn't understand.
Go through all this stuff. No.
Yeah. And we have to differentiate. I have a bit of a pet peeve to differentiate between sex and gender.
Mm-hmm.
And so sex is really about your genitalia, male that way or a female that way. And gender is really more in the mind, it's sociological more so. It's how society says women earn less than men, for example. Let me get some of those digs in there. You know, kind of society's things about women. Women do more housework than men. I'm not an embittered female at all. But, you know, I'm female and I largely identify with being female. And those things are important. So,
you do become very clear when you're going
through
this.
Men are the bigger breadwinners, for example. Yeah. So that's gender. Mm-hmm. But whereas sex is really about, you know, the penis and the vulva and the vagina and the clitoris and that type of thing. So, so you felt different as a little kid. So, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, and I knew there was something going on as far as that goes. I mean, when I was in school and doing gym class, for example, I didn't relate to the other boys that were in my class. My friends were more female, and they weren't my friends because they were female, because I was interested in them in a sexual sense or curious or anything like that.
Right.
I identified as a girl, playing with dolls, dressing up, doing all these other different things, doing the things that girls do. And
people make fun of you?
They totally
did.
I mean, I had my parents taking toys away from me that they felt were for girls. Girls, taking me out of sports that I had interest in, such as figure skating, gymnastics, things like that. They wanted me in soccer or baseball,
hockey.
And I was terrified of all those sports.
Yes,
I was
of course.
Terrified of the whole contact action, because the guys were always stronger than me. And I remember one of the things in my life, too, was riding a bicycle. I was so terrified of riding a bicycle and getting on that bike, because I was, you know, just shy and knew that there were different things going on in my body. Whereas the guys would get on, it's like, yeah, I can do this. I can handle this. And
right.
I responded the same way that most of the girls in the neighborhood did.
Yeah, so. And we don't do that to girls. Like, if, you know, girls are tomboys, you know, if they, you know, play baseball. I mean, I loved, you know, I was I am a female, I'm a woman, but I have to say I'm athletic. I love sports. I played baseball as a kid. I liked everything that the boys did. And I had a lot more male friends than I did female friends. That's different today. But, you know, as a young kid, and nobody gave me a hard time about that. They said, you're our athletic daughter. So, you know, that was, you know, it's, I never felt badly about it. I felt actually quite good about it.
Ironically now for me, as I'm older and have gone through all my stuff, my surgical procedures and things like that, to feel and be who I am and be confident in who I am, that's different when it comes to sports now. I feel I can get out there and play hockey and play soccer because I'm in the body that I knew I should have been, and I'm confident with it rather than feeling awkward and not happy and unsure about myself as
that's
a child,
right.
Knowing that I wanted to be doing this and I should be doing that. But why am I being told I have
exactly.
to do this?
We all want to have confidence. We all want to have that self-confidence as we grow up and as whatever jobs we're doing or whatever roles we're participating in as a parent or as a wife or sister or daughter. You know, we want to be ourselves and we want to be confident. So you were one self and then you have become another self.
Yeah.
What were some of the challenges of becoming the other self? Do you mind if I ask you what age you were when you reassigned?
I was 12. No, I'm only kidding. 17 years ago. I was 30 when I went through all that stuff.
30. But the sexual reassignment surgeries are happening younger.
If it's
now.
Diagnosed younger and you have parents that are supportive and know what's going on,
absolutely.
I totally 100% support that. I just found out about a 14-year-old female to male transsexual who's finding a school to go to in the States and looking for the funding to go to the school to avoid the bullying aspect. And I think that's
bullying
wonderful.
Is so detrimental. It's so detrimental
horrible.
To the psyche. It is. And, mm-hmm. and bullying happens to children, to adults. It happens in schools, in the playground. It happens in the workplace. Mm-hmm. It happens. So
and
it's
for those,
detrimental.
Yeah. For those who can't deal with it, I, you know, unfortunately, some of them aren't here with us anymore. But I mean,
exactly,
I was able to get past that, seek the counseling that I need to go. Finally, once I made the decision that this was what I was going to do, and I was already on my hormones and spironolactone as the androgen blocker, the testosterone thing, and then saying to myself, I need to go through this. It was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders.
CKNW with Maureen McGrath on the Sunday Night Sex Show. We'll follow that up next episode of Transistor, and you can hear the rest of that as well. And I do encourage you to tune in to that as well if you're interested in hearing a few things about sex and sexuality with Maureen McGrath on the Sunday Night Sex Show.
Send us your comments and suggestions by clicking on the voicemail tab located on OutLoudShows.com or use the form located on the show page. Subscribe to this show using your favorite podcatcher by clicking the links on OutLoudShows.com or find it in the podcast section of iTunes by searching the show name. You can leave a comment on OutLoudShows.com by selecting an episode and scrolling down the page.
Transparent. My life, out and about on the town. Maybe you'll run into me one of these days. Who knows? You find out where I'm at by listening here. Well, today I'm going to be at the TNT Awards, which is the Naked Truth Awards. And that you can get more information about by visiting nakedtruth.ca, and that's spelled NAKEDTRUTH.ca. Or on Facebook, the Naked Truth Adult Entertainment Awards. What this is all about is an event to include exotic entertainment, drink and food specials, door prizes, and t-shirts for sale, and so much more. It's going to be a real fun night. And what it's all about is honoring the best of the best of the Canadian adult industry. And me, is up for an award. And I'm up for Best Webcam Artist. Woo! I'm just wondering what they've actually seen, so I'm hoping it's good stuff. But anyway, and if you're interested in coming out to that, you're going to come to the Flamingo Hotel at 10768 King George Boulevard, Surrey, BC. And that's today, and it starts at 3 o'clock for the mixer. And admission is $10 at the door, and from 3 till 7, they have the meet and greet. From 7 to 11, they have the awards ceremony. From 11 till 1:30, they have the networking mixer. So it promises to be a fun event, and hopefully I'll win something. And if I do, I'll be sure to post it up on Out Loud Show so you can have a look and see what I was wearing. Transmission. News from around the world. All about us lovely trans folks. Things good, things not so good. I'm going to start off with one here from trans abuse scandal that rocks gay safe house in Kenya. LGBT activists call for closure of safe house over allegations that staff member abused residents. A safe house for gays in Kenya has been rocked after a staff member was found guilty of gross misconduct for allegedly sexually abusing a transgender resident. The marshal, who has not been named, was sacked for his post following an investigation by the Gay and Lesbian Coalition of Kenya called GALC, G-A-L-C-K. According to GALC, the trans guest who the marshal is accused of abusing was staying at his private home from June 26 to July 2nd, where she would sometimes do household chores. The victim is now in safe custody, but according to a report by Identity Kenya, it is not the first time the marshal has been accused of abusing safe residents. Huh, that's interesting. In a previous report, the Kenyan news source claimed the marshal had forced occupants to clean and made them his slaves. Wow, if that's someone who's not already engaged in some sort of fetishistic relationship, I'm not so sure. However, despite being initially dismissed from his post, he was reinstated less than 2 weeks ago, leading to calls for heads to roll at GALC, who were in charge of the Safe House Committee. GALC is dead, period, gay group queer watchtower told Identity Kenya. It needs to be put in receivership or shut down. A management committee of nonpartisan queer activists should storm the place and take over everything. If there is any guilt or shame, the whole of the GALC board management must step down immediately so that whatever remaining dignity they have remains. Meanwhile, sources have reported to Identity Kenya that the safe house is being shut over rent arrears.
Yeah, girl. How you doing, baby? Oh.
You were listening to Korean transgender pop star Harisu, who's making a comeback. South Korean transgender singer Harisu is back with new single after 6 years. South Korean transgender pop star Harisu is back with a new single after 6 years. The new single, Shopping Girl, is released on July 9th, and a 10-track album will follow. K-pop news website Sumpae reported. Harisu, who goes by the name Lee Kyung-yeon in everyday life, was born male in 1975. She has had sex reassignment in the 1990s and became the second person in South Korea to legally change her sex. Lee started her career modeling in cosmetic commercials for Dodo, who highlighted her transgender identity by digitally adding an Adam's apple? Huh. To the TV advert says she doesn't have one herself. In 2001, Lee released her debut album Temptation, followed by Liar in 2002, Foxy Lady in 2003, Harisu 2006, and Summer in 2006. Lee has also starred in films like Yellow Hair 2, in which she plays a transsexual who goes on the run, and written an autobiography called Eve from Adam. New Zealand proposes third gender option for passports. Kiwis might be able to describe themselves as M, F, or X on passports if proposed changes go through in September. This is a report from Mahalo.com.
In a move the Australian government hopes will help remove discrimination against intersex or transgender people, the country's passports will now offer three options: male, female, and indeterminate, the government said Thursday. Quote, this initiative is in line with the Australian government's commitment to remove discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation or sex and gender identity, according to the Australian Passport Office. The policy removes unnecessary obstacles to recording a person's preferred gender in their passport. Those who do not identify themselves as male or female will no longer be required to check off the M or F box under gender, but instead will now have the option of checking X, according to the new passport rules. The office said birth certificates or citizen certificates won't need to be altered in order to have a new passport issued. And those who identify themselves as transgender will be able to choose their preferred gender so long as it is supported by a statement from a doctor. The United States made a similar change in 2010 that dropped the surgery requisite for transgender people. The United Kingdom also allows people to check a gender other than their gender at birth. In Canada, you can make a change only if you've had sex reassignment surgery. In New Zealand, the decision is made by a family court ruling. The move is being praised by the transgender and intersex community, who call for Australia state governments to follow suit by allowing birth certificates to also be changed without the requirement of surgery.
Huh. That's interesting, as I love the whole use of the word indeterminate. Anyway, here's one for you. Currently the man in... I still got my head scratching over this one. Anyway, man dodges rape charges because trans victim was not a woman. Swedish court clears man of attempting to rape trans woman over victim's genitalia. Figure that one out. A man accused of attempting to rape a woman has been cleared by a court in Sweden because the victim was transgender. District Court heard how the 16-year-old defendant followed the trans woman who was dressed in traditionally female clothes and brutally attacked her outside her ex-boyfriend's house. After forcing her to the ground, he attempted to rape her, tearing off the victim's pants and grabbing at her crotch. What a surprise he got, eh? However, Judge Dan Stjørstad ruled that the attempted rape was invalid because the accused was transgender. The fact that she still had male genitalia meant he intended crime never... really? Anyway, it's still rape as far as I'm concerned. The intended crime never had the possibility of being fulfilled. He said, the district court has ruled that the accused would never have been able to carry out the planned criminal activity as he was attempting to rape a woman. From a judicial perspective, there are valid and invalid attempts. You cannot, for example, murder a murdered person as the crime has already been committed. But where the line is it a bit vague. The man was jailed for 4 months for assault in order to pay 15,000 Swedish kroner, the equivalent of $2,154 Canadian dollars, in damages to the victim. Transcriptions. Letters from listeners. And today I've got one from a reader in Manitoba wondering about doctors specializing in SRS surgery. Now, there are several doctors around the world who are performing the surgeries, and that goes from England to Belgium to Canada here in Montreal. I'm in Vancouver. There's also a doctor who's actually entitled to do the surgeries here in Vancouver, but he cannot get medical time or operating room time. Go figure that one out. So our illustrious government here in BC would still rather send patients out of province at an astronomical fee. But anyway, that's a whole other situation. So we have doctors that are also in Portland. We have doctors that are in Thailand. And you'll find most of the ones that you, if you're thinking about something going to Europe, for example, generally the surgeons over there, they have to accept you, or you have to apply, or you have to be a European citizen. They don't readily take people over there. And there is actually a place in Holland, I believe, that is called the Gender Group. But if you're interested in finding out different doctors, you can also go on to the Transsexual Resource Network. There's a whole list of surgeons there that are providing cosmetic procedures as well as the actual SRS. And you'll probably find a lot more surgeons that are able to do cosmetic procedures in regards to feminizing facial features, body, hands, feet, all kinds of different things like that. Even right down to your face, your ears, for example, as well as reducing the size of the ears and Adam's apple shaving, which I'm going to talk about in a later show. And I'm thanking you for listening into Transistor. And one of the things that I want to bring to your attention as well is people are asking me, what's it like being with you? What's it like with your friends? And how are your friends accepting? Well, if you tune in to August the 4th, you're going to listen to an interview with my current boyfriend and my only boyfriend and the one that I'm in for the long haul with. And he's got some interesting, fun-loving things to say.
Listening to Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel. Send us your comments and suggestions by clicking on the voicemail tab located on OutLoudShows.com or use the form located on the show page. This has been a production of OutLoudShows.com. Quality sounds for your brain.